Amen. Good morning again and welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for a beautiful day, another day to serve you and to draw close to you. Lord, I pray that our time together this morning around your word, that we might draw close to our Lord and Savior, and Lord, that we might draw close to you and to one another. Lord, that we might be joined together in unity in the body of Christ. Lord, that we might show forth the one who we serve. Lord, as you said that they would know that we are your disciples by the love we have one for another. Lord, I pray this morning that we might be filled with that love from you, that we might be able to share to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read a pretty large section here, and then we'll go back and delve into that. And there's quite a few different things covered in this passage and a lot of different angles we could take on this. But this morning, I have one particular part that I want to hone in on, but I'm going to read the passage to kind of get the context and pick up some of the nuggets in which Paul's tying back to one part or another of what he said before or after, as he tends to do. So we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start with verse 4. Speaking here of, he starts out speaking of spiritual gifts, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 4, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations," that means of ways of serving, ways of organizing and accomplishing things, "but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally," that means individually, "as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of thee.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together." This is a term that's used actually a lot in working with metal, when you're joining the different kinds of metal together. "He's tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And he goes then into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is known as the chapter of love. And he talks about how all of the things that we might do, if they're not done in love, are, as he says, as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. They make a lot of show. They make a lot of noise. It looks good. It sounds good. It sounds like there's activity, but there's no life. There's no depth. There's no reality to it that is the basis for what is being accomplished. And so therefore, he says those things will pass away. They don't actually accomplish lasting fruit because they're not rooted and grounded in the very basis of love or charity, as the King James says. So I want to go back and look here. I think every time that we have particular projects that we work on as a body together, it always blesses me and sticks out to me. As most of you probably know, this past weekend or this weekend, we had a large churchyard sale, and there were so many who worked and labored on this, not just even this week. I know Lydia and different ones had been collecting things over multiple months, getting it ready. Brother Aaron had given one of his buildings that he wasn't using in town as a storage place to collect those things. And it was beautiful to see as all the different parts of the body worked together in conjunction to bring this together. We had a wonderful time together. We had a great sale, and we raised a decent amount of money for the church for the projects that we're working on. But it's interesting to notice when some particular thing is on the agenda or is on the horizon that we can all work together, it seems as many times like it's easier for us to plug in and pull together and become and act like and work like the body of Christ. But we see this taught in Scripture that we are members of the body of Christ, and we each, as believers within the body, we have a place, we have a position which God has designed us to fulfill, and God wants us and expects us to fulfill that with heart, with vigor, with love one for another. Now, there are so many things we could unpack here, and I'm not going to try to hit everything, and I don't expect to be telling you guys a whole lot of new information that you don't know, but I want to take some time to dig into what the Spirit is saying here through the Apostle Paul as he speaks about the body and how it works together. One of the first things I want to think about and look at together here is the fact that there are times and ways in which we as human beings, we use our bodies in ways that they're not designed for, right? There's times when instead of using my hand to grab a hammer and knock a 2x4 into place, sometimes I just use my hand and knock a 2x4 into place. It's not the best idea, right? It's not the intended use. It works-ish, but it's not the intended use. Sometimes I might turn around and use my heel and kind of bump it into place. Sometimes I might, you know, use my shoulder to hold something in place that, well, it works, but I might end up straining something in my back, right? It's a stopgap. It works, it's not really the best way to go about doing it. You can lift with your back. They say you're not supposed to. You're supposed to lift with your knees, right? Now, I'm pretty sure a lot of my chronic back pain comes from the fact that I never really learned how to do that well. And I spent all of my younger years just worked. And I don't know that I was working in the best way, right? But we see here, Scripture is teaching us there's all these different parts, all these different places within the body. And he says God has designed and created the different members of the body to fill those places. Now, when you have a healthy, properly functioning body, those places are filled. And each member fills its place. Each member is there. Each member is connected. They know when they're needed and how they're needed. And they are moving together towards the ultimate goal, right? Of shining forth the light of Christ to those around us, of testifying of his goodness, of being the hands and feet of Christ Jesus to each other and to this lost and dying world around us. But many times as a body, we might find ourselves, there's a little gap here, right? And the right and proper thing to do in a situation, if you have a gap, is to fill that gap. Step in and do what you need to do. But that's not necessarily always the best way to do it, right? That's a stopgap. It gets the job done, but it's not necessarily the healthiest thing for the body. Many times, the body, the different members of the body may begin to feel the strain like your back would feel if you're using it in a way it's not intended to be used, because there's so many parts of the body that aren't stepping up, aren't doing their part, right? There's so many parts of the body that are just kind of going, hey, I'm here for the party. You let me know when the work's done and I'm all ready to go. And other parts of the body are like, well, there's work that needs done here. Nobody's doing it. I guess I'll do it. And they're pushing and using themselves in ways that were not necessarily their God-given design, not necessarily the way that God prepared them. I want to point out especially the couple of times in here when the Apostle Paul talks about how the positions in the body, the places in the body, the needs in the body, and the people that are supposed to fill those and how that's supposed to work together, he says it's as he wills. So many times in our minds, it's like, well, I want to be this kind of a member of the body. I want to be that kind of a member of the body. Well, I think that I could do such and such a thing, or I really want to do such and such a, fill such and such a an area, and maybe it's not an area that I'm actually good at filling. Maybe it's not an area God's actually called me and prepared me and gifted me for. And there can be, as he talks about here, there can be this going back and forth, this jealousy of, well, I'm not the eye, so I guess I'm not important. I'm not the ear, so I guess I'm not important. I'm not the foot. I guess nobody cares about me. You know, all these different parts of the body, and he talks about it from two different angles. He talks about it as the person or as the part of the body, the member of the body going, well, because I'm not something that seems more important, I guess I'm just going to sit here and veg and let everybody else do everything because I'm not that important. And then he also talks about it from the other angle of the other members of the body, the other parts of the body can't say, hey, I don't really need you. You're kind of just not a part of this. I don't really, you know, feel a major need for a pair of legs right now. So I guess, you know, just kind of hang out, do your thing. He talks specifically about, it's like, hey, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. How far is a head going to get without feet? If I'm If I'm sitting here and I'm just the smartest guy in the world and I just sit in here thinking all the time, but I can't ever get up and actually go get some food. I can't ever actually get up and go out and get some exercise to clear out the fog out of my brain. It starts getting all jammed up in there. If I can't actually get up and down to sleep and to rest and to do all these different things, can't go use the restroom, can't go find paper and pen to actually write down all my brilliant thoughts, what good did it do me to have all this brilliance if it's not actually being put into practice in any meaningful sort of a way? A head can't just bounce down the street and go accomplish something. No matter how big and smart and important it might feel, it will accomplish nothing of the brainy, big, important, powerful things that it thinks it has all wrapped up in itself if it doesn't have hands to move into those areas to accomplish the things that it thinks of. If it doesn't have feet to carry it to where it needs to go, if it doesn't have digestion to process and feed it, if it doesn't have blood cells to carry that nutrition to and from different parts of the body, if it doesn't have the white blood cells to fight and defend and keep it from sickness and decay, right? All of these different parts of the body, the brain can sit there and go, well, you know, really, all of you are just kind of my servants. I'm really the important one here. I'm really the one that, you know, has it all together. And you guys, you know, you do your best. And I you know, that's great. But I'm really the one that's got this all figured out. And, of course, in the love of Christ, the rest of the body shouldn't spitefully say, yeah, you want to see just how well you have this figured out, right? But in reality, if the rest of the body said, hey, you think you're all that in a bag of chips? All right, we'll let you see what you can do. That brain is going to really quickly realize, I don't have anything. I don't have any way to put into practice the things that I think up. I don't have anything to tend to my needs. I don't have anything to have my back. I'm open and vulnerable to any virus, any sickness, any disease or germ that comes my way. I need the bones to protect me so that the next coconut that falls out of the tree doesn't squish me. I need eyelids and eyeballs to send me the information I need to be able to process and figure out what's going on around me. I need all of the senses. I need all of the parts of the body. And so he talks about this from a few different angles. And he uses this imagery of a body to talk about the body of Christ, the church, and all the different members. We are to be working together for his glory. As he said, as he wills. I might decide that I'm the brain, right? I might decide that I'm the smart one. If that's not true, and I insist on trying to be the one making all the calls and making all the decisions, I can do a lot of damage to the body, right? If the mind is not actually taking in the information and processing it properly, you can also have disconnects between the one that, you know, the mind and the rest of the body. That's part of what the difficulty and the hardship with leprosy is. You don't realize you're not getting those pain signals. So you bump your foot on something and it doesn't hurt. You don't check on it. You don't go, hey, are you all right down there, buddy? Oh, you're bleeding. Okay, let's get this wrapped up and call the rest of the body to come together. And so, and a person with very bad leprosy can end up with cuts and wounds that aren't tended properly. They end up with infection that's then spreading to the rest of the body. They don't even realize what's going on because there's not connection. There's not flow. The body's not working together properly. And he talks about that in this passage as well. He talks about how where am I at here? Let's see if I can find it real quick. When one of the members suffers, all the members suffer together with it. When I'm working away and I hit my thumb with a hammer, it's not like, oh, you're kind of dumb getting in the way there. Good luck with that. I hope you feel better. Maybe I can let you off the hook from holding anything for 5 or 10 minutes. No, the whole body automatically comes together. I'm grabbing it with my other hand. The whole body is feeling that pain. The whole body is reacting. The whole body is helping to try to care for that member. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. In the body of Christ, we are called to care for one another in this sort of a way. Not just a, oh yeah, sorry that happened to you, but an actual gathering around and bearing one another's burdens, as Scripture tells us. A caring, a being there for each other. If I get a cut, that part of the body that got a cut really can't do a whole lot many times to help itself deal with the situation. I need the other parts of my body to, my feet to walk me over to the sink, my other hand to turn the water on so I can wash away the blood and clean it real good. I need my eyes to be taken in the surroundings so I know that I'm not going to walk into more trouble by heading over this direction to try to deal with this, right? That I know that I'm not going to walk from, as it were, from the frying pan into the fire, that I'm not walking away from this one sharp thing and stepping on glass, and now I've got a cut foot too, right? I need all these different parts of the body working together to take care of that part of the body. I need the brain going, okay, there's Band-Aids out in the truck. I need the ears listening to know that I have everything shut off properly, that I can leave the area without coming back to, destruction or some kind of fire or something like that. I need all of the different parts of the body functioning together. And even after the crisis is over, I need those blood cells bringing nutrients to that area to heal it. I need the scab to be forming to protect it so it's not continuing to just ooze out blood. I need all these different parts of the body. I need the white blood cells coming to fight off any kind of infection. I need all the parts of the body functioning together. And the body of Christ, He uses our natural body as a picture again and again throughout Scripture to say, hey, you understand it in the physical realm. It's obvious. It makes sense. Now learn to work this out in the spiritual realm. Learn to work this out as a body for His glory. He says, as He wills. And then later on He says, as it hath pleased Him. I don't choose my spot in the body. I don't choose how I fit into that body. I choose to fill my spot. I choose to be available. I choose to be connected. I choose to be communicating with and engaging with the rest of the body. I choose to care when one of my brothers or sisters is going through a hard time. I choose to see it as a joyful thing and rejoice and celebrate when my brother or sister has a blessing, that I'm not sitting there going, oh, I wish that could have been me. How come nothing ever happens right for me? How come I didn't get to have a raise at work? How come I didn't get to have, whatever the blessing might be? And then as we are also one body, there ought to be a breaking down and a dissipation of jealousies. There ought to be a breaking down and a dissipation of, like, well, I'd pray for my brother or my sister to do well and to excel, except that I want to make sure that I'm also doing well and excelling. And realizing, hey, we're part of the same body. If he's doing well, we're doing well. If she's doing well, we're doing well. If they're suffering, it's going to affect me as well. If they're blessed, if they're encouraged, if they're growing in the Lord, that's a good thing. That's blessing and benefiting the whole body. That's blessing and benefiting me. And I don't have to go about it looking at it as, well, it's me versus them. I shouldn't go about it looking at it as it's me versus them. I shouldn't go about it looking at it as, well, I need to take care of myself. And then, you know, if there's anything left over, then I'll see if any of them need any help. But rather realizing, hey, as a body, we can pull together. Yes, I have needs. They have needs. But we as different individual members of the body are intended by God to be helping one another's needs. I don't know how to do everything. Surprise, surprise. I don't know how to be all the members of the body. And even, he says, even if you could, if it was all one member, where's the body? That's not a body. That's a body part. Another part of this is the connection and the life that flows through those connections. The strength, the healing, the help, the care one for another, as he says, that flows through those different connections. A lot of times we have the idea of, I'm just kind of, you know, I can take care of myself, and I expect you to take care of yourself, and that's the way it is. You know, I'm just going to do my thing, and you do your thing, and we'll come together and say howdy, and, you know, that's all I need. And then there's those who don't even feel the need to come together and spend time together, and you look and you say, how long, if I cut my finger off and leave it laying over in that corner, how long is it going to be alive? How long is it really going to be healthy? How long is it going to be vibrant? Can it survive on its own? Can it thrive on its own? Can it live and function properly on its own? No, it can't. And so there's this connection that God calls his people to of connecting with one another so that we're working together, so we're having each other's back, so to speak. So we're bearing one another's burdens. We're caring about what each other care about, what each other are experiencing. You and I are called, each one individually, he says, as a whole, but as members of as individual members of that whole. He says, we're called to embrace our part and our place in the body. And we're called to embrace each other's parts and place in the body, right? To say, hey, you're not just a nice face that I like to see on occasion. I need you. I need you. And many times in crisis, we respond the way we ought to respond all the time. But the body of Christ is designed to work together the whole time in this way, to be a unit, to care for one another, to look out for the well-being of each other, to fill our place, not just when it's like, oh, the roof's falling now, we're all going to jump in and take our part in trying to fix it and keep it from falling and crushing us, right? But that the rest of the time we're saying, hey, we're checking in. How you doing? You doing all right? Need anything? The rest of the time we're checking in. We're caring. We're making an effort to be aware of what's going on in each other's lives. And we're putting in the time. We're putting in the effort. But we're also feeling with each other. We're feeling the hurts and the pains. We're feeling the joys and excitements. We're caring one for another, as he says. No part is the whole. No part can function properly alone. We need each other. I heard a beautiful testimony, and I don't know all the details off the top of my head, but a beautiful testimony from back many years ago. There was, most of you probably know the name, David Livingston. He's a missionary missionary and doctor in Africa years and years and years ago. There was a situation where there was this one tribe they were trying to reach that was simply absolutely opposed to the gospel, absolutely opposed to having anybody come and talk to them about the Lord. They were just very hard, very resistant. And there came a point where the chief sent message to David Livingston and said, "Hey, we're coming tonight and we're going to kill you and everybody in your compound. We're going to kill you all." And as he's writing in his journal, you can read the entries, he's very discouraged, very depressed. I can't imagine why, right? He's very downhearted. And God, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to respond to this? There's families here. There's women and children. There's all these ones who are under my protection and under my care who are being threatened, but yet we feel like we're supposed to be here. We know this is where God has us. And he's crying out to God, asking God to protect them, asking God to give them wisdom. Nothing happened. No one came to the house. They slept through the night, got up the next morning, they went on with life. Years later, or months later, I don't remember the time frame of how long it was, different ones in this tribe began to come and to ask questions, and pretty soon he gets invited in, and the vast majority of the tribe comes to the Lord. He's sitting around talking with the chief one night, and he's like, "You know, you sent me that threat." He's like, "Why didn't you guys ever come?" The chief's like, "We did come." It's like, "We came and we surrounded your compound. There were 39 huge shining warriors with swords drawn around your compound. We didn't want to tangle with that, so we left." So he's sharing this testimony another year or two later back at his home church in Europe. And the secretary says, "Hey, would you mind telling me the date of that?" And he pulls out their church records. And on that night, they were having a prayer meeting, and there were 39 people at the prayer meeting praying for him for protection. There were 39 angels surrounding that compound. These are parts of the body working together. God could have had 1,000 angels there if he wanted. He probably had more there than what was seen, right? Like the story of Elijah, when the mountain's full of warriors that his servant can't see. But specifically, through this story, and this is a true story, through this story you can see as different members of the body are being stirred and working together as God's intended to supply the needs of another part of the body. It's a beautiful story. You almost wonder if it's credible, right? Because it's just too amazingly spot on, right? You could have predicted the story earlier on because it's so obvious. But that's parts of the body of Christ working together as they ought to work together. A healthy, functioning body has all of its members. They're alive. They're filling their God-given part of the whole. They're connected, they're committed, they're engaged. And different seasons are going to look different as to how that works together. You know, there's going to be, it's not that the hands always do all the manual labor, right? There's times when the manual labor is done by the back. There's times when the manual labor is done by the feet. There's times when, you know, when it's a forearm or whatever. There's all these different parts of the body that take and share the load in a properly functioning body. And I want to briefly read through another section. It's very similar in many ways, but it has just some good meat to add to this. Romans chapter 12. You can tell reading it that it's written by the same author. The Apostle Paul wrote this one as well. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read beginning with verse 1. He's calling them to living for Christ, living committed. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same job, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. That means let it be sincere. Again, I love how at the end of, or not even necessarily the end, but along with talking about how we as members of the body function together as members of a physical body, he ties it again to this works because of love. Just as in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, but I'm going to explain to you how this functions properly, and then goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and says, hey, it's got to be rooted and based in love. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one toward another. That means feel nice things towards each other, feel kindness towards each other. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant, that's continuing in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Just so many practical things that he's listing off here of how this works, how we as members individually of one body work together as we care for one another. He talks about brotherly love. He talks about preferring one another. He talks about being patient in tribulation, rejoicing in hope, staying constant and continuing in prayer, caring for one another's needs, rejoicing with them that rejoice, weeping with those that weep, being together in the same mind, not thinking of yourself as superior, not thinking of yourself as not part of the body, but each one stepping in and filling the place God has for you. And be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think you have it all together. Don't think you have it all figured out. But take time for one another. Take time. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Let love be sincere. Let it be deep and meaningful, and the undergirder, and the grease between the cogs, the things that keeps all of this body moving smoothly. It's the love that he shows to us, that he's poured out on us, and that we now use one toward another, and we allow that love to be like the lubricant in an engine that keeps those metal parts from destroying one another, keeps those metal parts from chafing together and just rubbing each other the wrong way. You run an engine without any oil in it for, it doesn't take very long before it seizes up. It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't move anymore because those parts weren't made properly? No. Because they can't function properly together without that lubricant. And that lubricant is love. That lubricant is care one for another. And he brings that out again and again, both in 1 Corinthians and in Romans. Love is the basis on which the body functions properly. We have to care for one another, truly, genuinely, sincerely care. We have to truly care when one of our members is suffering, when one of our members is having a difficult time, and care actively. Not just, oh man, sorry for you, sucks to be you, but care in reality, care as James says, don't just say, oh, I'm sorry you don't have anything to wear. I'm sorry you don't have any food. Depart in peace. Go be warmed and filled. Great. How's that going to help me? But actively taking part, actively engaging, actively looking for those opportunities where I can serve my brothers and sisters, where I can serve the body, where I can step in and expend love, give of myself, care for one another. This is the picture that Christ desires in his church. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer before he died. He said, Father, I would that they would all be one, even as you and I are one. That's a really high standard of oneness. That's a really high standard of connection and working together. So much so that we can't really explain it in a way that human terms can understand, but God tells us that he is one God, but yet he is three in one, right? So that unity, that level of connection, that level of unity is what Christ prayed for among us as his children, as believers, that we would be so one, so unified, so working together and functioning together as one body that the world around us would look and go, I know there's multiple people there, but I don't know how to, where one stops and the other one starts. I don't know how to differentiate and distinguish. They're just cohesive. They work, they function, they flow together, they care for one another, they're functioning properly. This one's helping out where that one's weak, that one's helping out where this one's weak, and they all are working together so beautifully. And the standard of unity that Christ prayed for you and I as his body is the unity between him and his Father. That's a high calling. That's a high calling. But brothers and sisters, we are called as the body of Christ to be a body as he wills, as it has pleased him. Let us each fill the place that is set before us. Let us each work, as Paul said in Romans. He says, not slothful. That's been fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning because we know our need. We know our lack. We know that as much as we might desire to be all that you want us to be, that without your grace and your strength, we're fighting a losing battle. Lord, we come to you for the grace. We come to you for the love. We come to you for the understanding to know how to put these things into practice, to know how to function as a body, to know how to care that way, truly, sincerely, one for another, to be changed and conformed into your image, that your motivations and your care and your love and your mercy would be working in and through us to one another, that the world may know that we're your disciples by the love that we have one for another. In Jesus' name, amen.